Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I am Paul Eno, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Today, we are going to be talking politics, local, state, and national, with Dr. Eric Herzig, professor at the University of Nevada, Reno, plus our power pundit panel, Elisa Cafferata, Chris Wicker, and Jill Derby. Coming up next on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno-Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with University of Nevada professor, Dr. Eric Herzig, one of my, well, former advisors in my time at the university.
You've done well.
Well, that remains to be seen, I'm sure. So, Doctor, let's talk a little local politics. We had the State of the City speech here in Reno by City Manager Andrew Klinger. He was talking about improving Reno's image. Do you think that's doable?
Well, I said earlier, it's real easy to be cynical. We've heard this before, that, okay, all we have to do is some sort of, like, PR job. We need a new slogan. And Reno's not alone in this, in the state of Nevada. I mean, RSCVA changes their slogan, like, every 3 years or something. The state of Nevada has their slogan. It helps. I mean, I don't want to put it down. You can be too dismissive of it. And it's a good sign that we're focusing on an intangible rather than for the last 2 years it was, hey, can the city make its payroll? And so that's the good news going forward. But it's going to take a lot more than that. You can't just have a slogan. You've got to have something behind the slogan. So if people come to the city and see it, they have to be impressed by it. At the state level, for example, you can have all the nice slogans you want, but if businesses come and look and say and look at any number of, say, social characteristics, and they're going, this isn't where I want to move, then you're really not, as I say, moving the bar.
You know, Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, but I don't know that that holds true today. It seems when you talk to people about politics, they don't know who their city council people are. You know, if you just pick your general folks off the street, but they are focused really on the national basis. Do you think that's because of the media, because we now have 24-hour news and that's what they focus on?
In part, when people do, you know, when you ask them about politics, yes, they're going to focus on particularly the partisan rancor in Washington, D.C., and kind of throw up their hands and say, ah, Democrats, Republicans, blah. Local government is far less partisan, and so you don't have that cue for voters to say, oh, I'm a Democrat, so-and-so is a Democrat. They're running nonpartisan. If you look at someone like Pierre Hachef, who I believe is a registered Republican, used to be a registered Democrat, but is just at base, you know, a pretty competent guy who worked on the city council. There's a whole lot less for people to focus on and to just kind of grab and either get agitated by or like. I will disagree with you at one level, though. If you end up with potholes on your streets, or if there aren't enough police officers, or if there are some major problems within the city, then people will certainly come back to local politics. And I would say where Reno was in the 1990s, a lot of people focused on local politics because the city wasn't working.
All right, and let's talk about that. You know, Bob Gischel's been mayor for 11 years now. He is termed out. We've had, you know, a cadre of current and former city council people. Look at this, from Jessica Sarraza to Dwight Dortch, Sharon Zadra, Dave Iazzi. We have Eddie Lorton. I mean, is there any anointed candidate who is, you know, kind of the person everybody's looking to? This is going to be the next mayor, like Gischel was.
There's an anointed candidate, but not an anointed next mayor. And I would say I would be shocked if Jessica Sarraza didn't run. She's laid the groundwork for it. She's got a lot of experience. She's got a lot of connections. She's really, I would say, paid her dues, done a very good job setting herself up. But that doesn't mean that she's a walkover to win the race. I think there are plenty of people who will look at her record and say, maybe I don't like this. Maybe I want someone else. However, who that person is remains to be seen. If I look at her compared to, say, against a Dave Iazzi, I think she wins easily. Dwight Dortch, that would be a nice matchup in a sense, because Dortch is, as on that council, about as different from Jessica as anybody, although not on every single issue. I think there are still candidates out there to be found. Jessica will be the front runner.
She's the front runner, and I mean, a guy like Dwight Dortch, or kind of the maybe business anointed candidate, how do they do now? I mean, we saw Bernie Carter kind of go down.
Business interests are obviously and always going to be important, but they're not as strong as they were when the economy was booming. And you can see this particularly in the construction trades, which used to contribute up to 40% or more of local government campaign finance. Well, they don't have the money anymore, and they don't have the workers. That's the biggest thing. When you had this large army of, say, construction workers, who, even if you got low vote turnout among them, there still were a lot of them. That sector has been devastated, so there are fewer workers there to, you know, in a sense, to turn out the vote.
So who fills that vacuum? I mean, is that Bob Fulkerson, the People's Liberation Army of Nevada? Is that when they come in and they run their candidates and they get their folks elected?
Well, they'll certainly run their candidates. They always have. I don't know that they have, in a sense, a groundswell of, you know, that they can swing an election. I think the playing field, so to speak, has become more level with the result of the Great Recession, in a sense, is that the business groups have been lessened in their clout, Bernie Carter being a prime example, and the fact that Jenny Brekus won, you know, despite they didn't want her. And so you've got a situation where no group is really going to dominate. And it, from a political science point of view, it makes it more interesting to watch.
All right. We're going to be right back. We're going to do state and national politics next with Dr. Eric Herzig on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with University Professor, Dr. Political Science Professor, Dr. Eric Herzig. Let's talk about state politics. Brian Sandoval endorsed Mark Hutchison today, 10 minutes after he announced. So Mark Hutchison is now the anointed candidate for lieutenant governor. What does that do in terms of dynamics in the 2014 election?
Well, as soon as the legislative session ended, the 2014 election, you know, was underway with a vengeance. I thought it was fascinating that the Republicans were going to have a crowded field for lieutenant governor, at least it looked that way on paper. Hutchison sweeps in, and this was clearly choreographed that, 10 minutes after he announces the governor saying, gee, I look forward to campaigning with him. That pretty much chases out a lot of people, and several people who supposedly were thinking about running, Bob Beers, for example, came out shortly thereafter, and, you know, they're all for Hutchison. So that race, you may still end up with a Republican primary, but I doubt it. The Democrats really want that race. And so the Republicans, in a sense, did a preemptive strike. They have a very strong candidate. I mean, Hutchison on paper has a lot of very positive qualifications. And now the Democrats, who want that because they expect Sandoval's going to run either for a vacant seat or, I would say, against Harry Reid in 2016, you know, then they've got their person in position.
But they're talking about guys like Tom Collins.
Well, that's their problem. I mean, it's like this is the race that the Democrats need a very strong candidate. So the Republicans have, ran to the front of the line and said, we've got our candidate. Oh, and by the way, he's going to run on a team with Brian Sandoval, who's incredibly popular. And so now you've got, see, Tom Collins. Well, I think the Democrats are trying to look for something better there. Catherine Cortez Masto could duck running for governor. Politically, that makes sense, but then it's kind of how blatant of a political move is that, and how popular is she? I just don't know where the Democrats go with the lieutenant governor race.
Mike Schneider, what do you think? Former state senator, that is my dark horse pick for the Democratic candidate.
Okay, I have to admit a bias. I love Mike Schneider, okay? He would be just a fascinating candidate to watch. I think he's a very skilled and thoughtful politician. Statewide office, I don't know how well he'd play up north.
All right, let's talk about the gubernatorial race, because that is something that a lot of people are talking about. Steve Sisolak kind of seems the Clark County commissioner, that he's percolated up to the top of the Democratic candidates to challenge Governor Brian Sandoval. But he kind of comes with some different baggage within his own party. He has been a critic, and I think rightfully so, of a lot of the practices that have gone on with public employees down in Clark County. Hasn't been a huge fan of the firefighters and some of the labor down there, which is really one of the workhorses for a Democratic campaign.
You stated it well.
You taught me well.
That Sandoval's incredibly popular, and the any Democrat thinking of running against him, they've really got to look at this hard, saying, I'm going to have to raise a ton of money. He's popular. He's well organized. And Catherine Cortez Masto actually is the logical person to run. And rumor has it that Harry Reid has really pushed her to run. I think she's looked at this saying, do I really want to be the sacrificial lamb? So Sisolak certainly does not lack for ambition, but he does have. He has the baggage within the Democratic Party. He's got some personal baggage. He could be a formidable opponent in that he's a tough guy in terms of politics.
Yeah, very articulate, absolutely.
Yes. But
kind of the East Coast model.
Okay, yeah. Right now, he seems to be the front runner for the Democrats, but the Democrats are having a problem finding somebody who's willing to take on that mantle. On the flip side, and we haven't talked about this, what Brian Sandoval is the Republican Party where Democrats don't want to run against. When you look at the Attorney General's race, you've got Ross Miller, and if I'm a Republican, I'm just going, do I really want to run against Ross Miller? So you've got these two very strong candidates, one from each party, that they chase candidates away, possibly, although every candidate says, I am not afraid of anybody. Yeah, right. But you get that dynamic, but then that affects the other races, because then people who may have been slotted or logically would run in one race start to look for another race.
So let's talk about, we've heard the debate on immigration, and you have a lot of Republicans saying we need to get this debate settled or we're gonna die politically. You also have some Republicans on the right saying, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to look at amnesty. All this is going to do is create more Democratic voters. So you have that fight internally within the Republican Party. What do you think the prospects of an immigration bill passing, and what are the impacts going to be on the 2016 presidential race?
Well, we always want to focus on the politics. And yeah, I'm a political science professor, but you need to take a step back, and this policy is broken. George Bush said it yesterday, and George Bush doesn't have a political dog in the fight, so to speak. And so if you focus so much on, well, do the Republicans gain, the Democrats gain, you're missing sight of, oh, so what we have now, you're willing to live with 12 million illegals, a system that of enforcement that doesn't really work, a border that is still semi-porous, and I'm being diplomatic there. And so think about it first in terms of policy rather than politics, but nobody wants to do that. And the Republicans, I'm watching the Republicans politically now, to get to your question specifically. Let's see, on immigration, we're not going to do anything. Oh, and by the way, we're blocking student loan, cutting the student loan rate, and any number of social issues linked to women. That's the future of the Republican Party, alienate Latinos, young voters and women? Good luck, guys.
I guess we're the only ones left, right? It's
that's
the
right.
Straight white male
that's
party.
Right.
And that's where we have to leave it. I'm just kidding. Don't write letters. Paul Enos, we are going to be right back with our Power Pundit panel next on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Waiting. We've been waiting. And now it's here. The new four-door turbocharged Fiat 500L has arrived in Reno at Fiat of Reno. And this Fiat has it all, not the least of which is four doors. From a 160-horsepower turbo engine, which gets up to 33 mpg highway, to a whole list of unbelievable features. And it could be yours for the astonishing starting price of just $19,000.
Come see this new addition to our Italian family today. And you know how Italians are about big families.
Have no fear. Fiat is here.
Make tonight family night with Papa Murphy's. Get a large, original crust pepperoni pizza hot out of your oven for only $7. That's a large original crust pepperoni, just $7. Papa Murphy's. Love at 425 degrees.
Don't wait. Shop now. Ashley Furniture Home Store's $50 million warehouse liquidation is going on now. Our warehouse is closing for renovations, and we must clear out our inventory for construction. We need to get rid of everything. No price tag has been left unslashed. Hurry to your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
You now have a new option for primary health care in Reno. At Northern Nevada Hopes, our medical, social work, and behavioral health staff deliver a range of comprehensive services, all in one location in downtown Reno. We provide respectful, patient-centered care to everyone who walks through our doors, and our dedicated team of professionals works together to serve you. Northern Nevada Hopes, your partner in health.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to our Power Pundit Panel on Nevada Newsmakers. Today we have Jill Derby, the former chair of the State Democratic Party. We have Chris Wicker, who is the official spokesperson for the Washoe County Democratic Party. And we have Elisa Cafferata, with the lobbyist with Planned Parenthood. And do you have an announcement today? They had, you know, you may be running for city council in Ward 2.
I may be running.
So your announcement is maybe.
Maybe. I'm seriously looking at it.
All right. That's something we're seriously looking at. Well, we just had Dr. Herzig on, and we're talking about, you know, all the goings on in the state and local politics. Let's talk about the move that Mark Hutchison made to lieutenant governor and how how that worked. Does that scare any Democrats from running against Mark, knowing that he is Brian Sandoval's anointed candidate?
Well, I think it makes it tougher. Whether or not it scares anybody, I don't know. Brian Sandoval's a very popular governor, and I think that factor alone probably has given some people pause.
I think because of Brian's popularity, it's hard to get political traction against him. Now, on the other hand, I think there's a lot of opportunity to take political traction against Mark Hutchison. I think he's very conservative. He's taken some extreme positions.
He said that like it's a bad thing.
I do. Well, I think it gives a grip for anybody running against him because the state, he's much more conservative than the state is.
Well, and you know, the governor and lieutenant governor don't run as a ticket necessarily. And, you know, Mark is a first-term state senator from Las Vegas. So that's certainly, I think it's going to still be a competitive race depending on who the Democrats can find.
All right. Is Sandoval's race going to be competitive? I mean, I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Brian Sandoval will be elected to a second term.
You know, it would look that way now, but you know, in politics, you never know what's going to happen, you know, over the next year, and things can shift. So I think it's worth giving it a try.
The governor did some unpopular things, at least amongst a lot of people, such as vetoing the voting registration and the background checks. And so he certainly has, among some group of people, has lost a lot of his popularity, but I don't think I've seen that insofar as the overall voting population.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are still high, right?
His numbers are still very high, although I think Republicans especially should be very careful not to feel, you know, buy into the inevitability arguments, because we've certainly seen plenty of sure bet Republicans say something incredibly
stupid. Okay, but Brian Sandoval is so much smarter than all of those guys,
Brian
right?
Sandoval yeah,
I mean,
doing
he's not one of those idiots who's going to say,
It's they say on the campaign trail or in office. It's what they say, you know, when they think the microphones are off. Or
and you guys have sent out one of your trackers, right?
That gets people in trouble. So I think, you know, that there's no such thing as an inevitable race anymore.
All right. I want to talk about the immigration bill for a second, because that is all the talk in Washington. The Senate bill, which is has the backing of people like Marco Rubio and John McCain, has been declared basically dead in the House. It looks like there's fighting within the Republican Party in the House, with John Boehner and Paul Ryan saying, hey, we need to do something. We need to get something passed here. What are the prospects of getting something done?
I think it's not looking very positive, and one has to wonder if the Republican Party has a death wish here. You know, given it's so clear that something has to be done about immigration, it's so clear how much they lost the Hispanic vote in the last cycle, what are they thinking? And the fact is, the Senate bill, I think most people think, is a pretty reasonable kind of compromise, and what we're hearing from the House side is it's dead on arrival.
Yeah, so many of the Republican congressmen are afraid of primary challenges on the right that they move to the right perhaps more so than they would in their normal course of events. They all seem to be deathly afraid of the Tea Party, and it's gotten so bad that
people say the Tea Party. I mean, the Tea Party's kind of a 2010 phenomena. I mean, do you think the Tea Party's back?
I don't know. It's back in the sense of being able to mount primary challenges mm-hmm. against Republicans. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's nationally popular, but in the right districts, it's still popular and still can mount a credible primary campaign. And so you have these representatives are afraid even of passing a bill because they're afraid it would go to a conference committee and some part of the Senate bill would be adopted. So I think Jill might be right that they're so afraid of even going to a conference committee that I would be surprised if they pass something.
And, you know, the thing is, I think the Republican thinking is you know, that you're not talking about actual folks who are necessarily voting, so it's less of a, you know, less of a political risk, at least in the Republican minds.
Well, and I know the fear is, you know, if you give people amnesty, you know, will they have the ability
then
to
ultimately
vote?
Ultimately, they become voters, right?
That is the rub here. All right, that is where we have to leave it. Thank you guys very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Imagine having fashion, style, quality, and comfort all come together in your home. Imagine no more. There's a sale going on right now at Ethan Allen.
Could you use up to $2,500 in minutes? We've got you covered. We are Dollar Loan Center, your community short-term lender. No checking account required, no application fees, and no prepayment penalties. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Los Angeles, California, apply at one of our 80 locations or complete your entire loan online at don'tbebroke.com.
Welcome to Auto Insurance America.
I'm here to get an insurance quote for my new car. She's here to make her payment.
Great. You have a seat right here with our quote expert, and you step right over here into our payment center. Visit one of our local offices today or go to autoinsuranceamerica.com. Policies start at just $31 per month.
I could really go for some popcorn.
We're always here for you.
Call now and get instant proof of insurance at a price you can afford.
Auto Insurance America.
Mattress Discounter's $197 mattress sale is on now.
Mattress Discounter's $197 mattress sale.
Right now, you can get a Serta mattress, any size, for just $197 each piece when you buy the complete set.
Any size mattress, twin, full, queen, or king, for one low price. And they'll deliver it free.
The $197 mattress sale is on now.
The new Subway $4 lunch is for everyone. It's for value seekers, for spicy Italian lovers, for veggie eaters, for those who drink it all in. The new $4 lunch, a 6-inch sub and 21-ounce drink. Tons to choose from all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh.
Next week, Ray Hager and Randy Thompson will be here to continue discussing everything important in Nevada, from business to politics. That's next week on Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.